Welcome to the X-Cast, X-Files Podwatch, episode 106, covering Babylon and My Struggle 2. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and with me is Andrew Blaker. What's up, Andrew?
Hello, Zach. It is my distinct privilege to be here talking about these episodes with you today.
Yeah, man, this is quite an honor, because this is the last two episodes of the X-Files leading up to season 11. So we're capping this whole Podwatch thing off, man. It's exciting.
No pressure.
Yeah. There will be one more episode tomorrow from Tony himself to wrap it all up. Tony being the Chris Carter of the X-Caster. He will have the final word. But speaking of Chris Carter, we have two Chris Carter episodes here. And, you know, way back in season 3, we were talking about The List, and we had a brief conversation on Chris Carter's hit or miss when it comes to when he writes and directs and has basically total creative control over episodes. And boy, are we going to talk about those today, because we are talking about Babylon. So we can jump into that first. Written and directed by Chris Carter, and it aired on February 15th, 2016. So let me get this off my chest right now. Babylon, I genuinely believe Babylon is the worst episode of the X-Files, based off of how just precious the six episodes in the revival in season 10 were. To take one of them and do this with it was just inexcusable. But we can delve into it as we talk here, Andrew. What were your thoughts on it? What's your take on Babylon?
Words are hard. Words are hard to find for Babylon. I would agree with you. At this point in time, September 2017, I will say, to me, the single worst episode in the entire series, going back to the mid-90s, for me. This was just a true disappointment. True disappointment in every sense of the word. I mean, it makes Teso Dos Bicos and First Person Shooter and Fight Club, these all look like masterpieces compared to Babylon, to me. And it's... there's just so much to unpack here, and it's... yeah, it's terrible.
Well, being a Texan, I'm from Texas. I live in Houston. And for the record, I want all our listeners to know that as a Texan, we don't all wear cowboy hats, dance country, or hate immigrants. Okay, just for the record, we're not all like that. I mean, I remember I was watching this episode. I'm like, okay, how many people are we going to offend in this episode? Just in the cold open, right, itself. Because, I mean, let's get to the heart of it here. The crux of this plot is that two Middle Eastern men meet up, go walk into an art museum of some kind. We don't know what it is, you know, until later. But they walk into a building and they blow it up. And that's like the cold open. That's the hook. And the whole episode, I'm sure most of America was sitting there waiting for the twist, right? Waiting for, like, oh no, you thought it was this because of your preconceptions. No, it's this. But they didn't do that. They was straight up terrorists that blew up a building. There was no, like, sci-fi twist or misunderstanding. And the only thing about it was Mulder went on a crazy drug trip to talk to him on his deathbed. And then we just... and there were nurses that wanted to kill him, you know, and unplug the life support. And then, you know, you get these visions of the lone gunman. What a waste of them, by the way. Such hype was made. Oh, hey, the lone gunman are coming back. Like, oh, what's that going to be? You know, the comic books had revealed they had faked their death and they were still alive. I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm sure that's what they'll do here. No, they were just figments in Mulder's drug trip, doing what he's doing, a square dance, you know, at a country western bar. And just such a wasted cameo. And then you get Cigarette Smoking Man whipping him, and you get Einstein and have doing some BDSM stuff with Mulder, and it's just like, what is going on here, you know? And then the cherry on top is these terrible parody Mulder and Scully, you know, X-Files babies is what I call them, you know, of like Einstein and Miller. And you know, Chris Carter thought he was just being so cute and so clever by introducing these characters. And I swear, if they ever try to retire Mulder and Scully and replace them with Miller and Einstein and move forward with this show, I mean, I will not watch it. They, you know, people have problems with Doggett and Reyes. Okay, I mean, they look like Mulder and Scully compared to these guys. Anyway, just complete an epic fail. There's my rant. Take it away, Andrew.
Oh, well, I mean, I agree with pretty much everything they said. The question I have for you, Zach, do Texans go line dancing on the weekends? Is that a thing? Because according to this episode, it's very much a thing.
There are certain bars, you know, in Houston, and I'm sure when you get into like the Texas Hill Country and stuff, that are like country western themed bars, you know. But that's like one out of like 100 clubs. You know, we have lots of quote unquote normal bars to go into and dance as well. So just
well, and the thing I love is, you know, when we see Mulder's drug trip, you know, he's in a major metropolitan area in a major metropolitan hospital. And the way they make it look is that he just walked a block down and found this bar. And I mean, I knew watching that, I'm like, I don't think that's quite. I've never been to Texas myself, but I know enough to know that's not an accurate portrayal. But I want to start from early on in the episode. Well, the teaser, I guess. I'll take on that. It's so cringeworthy. Like you said, it's stereotype after stereotype. And maybe it's the political times we live in, which maybe to Chris Carter, that was the perfect reason for doing this episode in the first place. But you're on just such touchy ground here. And like you said, it's just stereotypes. How many people are you setting out to offend? And almost as soon as it opens up, I'm thinking, oh no, here we go. I mean, that was my first thought. As soon as I said, oh, here, this is going to be bad. And it was. Miller and Einstein. As a gimmick, okay, fine. I don't think it's funny. I don't think they were the way they were introduced, I did not like. It was so obvious.
Nobody down here but the FBI is most unwanted. Why did you ruin that fan favorite line with this episode, Chris Carter? Ugh.
I know it. I mean, okay, Agent Miller, I can buy. I honestly can. I'm okay with that. It's Agent Einstein. It's the name. The name is terrible, first off. It's a mouthful. Agent Einstein, and it sounds sarcastic, just insane. Like you would say, "Oh, Einstein," in a, like you know, implying someone thinks they're so bright. They're both redheads. I mean, you couldn't have made this more blatant if you'd tried. And it just stinks of complete lack of, you know, innovation to me on the part of Chris Carter. I mean, they feel more like caricatures than they do characters, and everyone almost universally has said that in one way or another. If we get more of them in season 11, I really hope that they treat them as characters and not just a gimmick, because that's all they are in this episode, to me. So, you know, I can't really add anything more to the conversation on Miller and Einstein. I mean, most fans do not like them. I mean, I think that's pretty well known. Back to the episode itself. Let me ask you, is there anything in this episode that was good, that you were okay with or that you thought was good?
I like that Skinner made an appearance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mulder had a good line with that, I thought. Yeah. Where's your hat? You know, that was a nice little touch. I'll give him that.
I just don't know what his angle was. Like, I don't know. Whatever he intended to do with this episode, it did not connect with me. And as you said, it doesn't seem like it connected with most people. And I feel like somebody should have stepped in and said, "Hey, Chris, can we give this another look? Like, what's your angle here, man? Because we only got 6 episodes. Is this really how you want to spend one of them?"
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I agree too. Lone Gunman appearing, even Skinner, just such a brief appearance. The whole mushroom trip, the whole terrible, terrible line dancing scene went on forever. And did you know? Deleted scene, bonus feature on the DVD Blu-ray set. You can watch this even longer. They made it even longer than what was on the episode. If you're into masochism, there you go. But it's just terrible. I mean, I'm cringing. Achy Breaky Heart, whatever the other song was, it's just, I mean, it felt so not like The X-Files. It felt, I don't think that would have ever flown in the original series. And that's what bugged me the most out of it. It felt so, I don't even know what the word is. Didn't fit. Did not fit at all.
No, I don't feel like Chris Carter is a very reactionary creator. I think, you know what, he's kind of like George Lucas, where he's like, you know what, this is what I wanted to do and I did it. If you didn't like it, sorry, you know, but this is how I'm doing it. So I feel like even if a lot of people didn't like this episode, like if he wants to do another one like it, I think he still will. You know, I think he will. If he wants to use Miller and Einstein, I think he still will. You know, I mean, do you get that vibe from him that he would kind of change course based off fans' reaction? Because based off his history, I don't.
No, I don't, and I think that that is what a lot of people, at least what I'm seeing online, that's what a lot of people are really concerned about in season 11, that he's not going to be at all receptive to fan criticism. I mean, you have pretty universal hatred for this episode. Really, when you look at season 10, you know, 3 of the 6 received, you know, pretty, I don't know if I'd go as far to say critical acclaim, but they were, you know, they were favored more than the other 3, the 3 written and directed by Chris Carter, that were almost universally panned. And I hope that he takes notice of that, but I really don't know if he will. The ending scene, real quick. I mean, that dialogue, I mean, you have got to have the subtitles on to catch what they're saying, because that is just the most overblown example of dialogue. I mean, it reads like he was on something when he wrote it. I mean, it is just, it makes no sense. It's just full of words that sound good, but have no real meaning. I mean, it was embarrassing to watch that, you know, and he has written some of the most overwrought soliloquies and dialogue in the series. I mean, you turn to some of the Great Myth Arc episodes have some of those where it's like, oh my God, or get on with the point. And that's what this was. It just felt like he just had a word, you know, he had a word quota and he had to meet it, and so there you go.
Well, thankfully, it's time to move on. All right, our next episode, the last episode of The X-Files until season 11 starts, My Struggle 2, with a story by Dr. Anne Simon, Dr. Margaret Fearon, and Chris Carter, a teleplay by Chris Carter, and of course it was directed by the man himself, Chris Carter, and this aired on February 22nd, 2016. So of all 6 episodes of Season 10, I would put My Struggle 2 kind of in the middle. I feel like it did it really pay off what we were building towards? No. But at the same time, there was such a short amount of time to build toward anything at all. It was hard to kind of keep that momentum going. Like, they call it My Struggle Part 2, and it's true. It kind of picks up a lot of threads that were left dangling after My Struggle Part 1. You know, like Tad O'Malley comes back, and the character who had disappeared there. And we really delve back into the mythology. The cigarette-smoking man plays a big role here. So great to see William B. Davis finally get to do something in the revival show instead of just a weird drug trip and a one tag scene at the end of the first episode. Strikes against it, though, would definitely be Miller and Einstein coming back. I think we've shared our thoughts on them. I was like, oh, why are they back? I do hope at least one of them dies in season 11 from this disease. But it was weird. As a season finale, I kind of forgive it more. Now that we know that we're going to get season 11, I feel a lot better about it, honestly. You know, for a while there, we didn't know. And we're like, is this going to be it? Is this the last episode of The X-Files? Is it going to be this UFO appears and we zoom in on Scully's eye and that's like the end of everything? Now that we know we're coming back, I feel like we can put an asterisk by our judgment of this. I think it will be affected on how they follow up it more on season 11. But, you know, middle of the road X-Files episode, of course, anything looks good when you follow up Babylon, right? So that's where I stand on it. What about you, Andrew?
Oh, I'm really split on this episode. I think it is extraordinarily rushed. You can't stop. You can't, and there's not a second where something is not happening. And it's extremely heavy on the dialogue, which to me, I there are a lot of instances in this episode where I feel like Chris Carter's writing was just not good at all, character dialogue particularly. I can rewatch it, and I really want to like it. Because it is exciting. There is some exciting new ground that they're breaking here. Seems to be taking the series in a pretty drastic new apocalyptic direction. Whether or not that's actually the case, I don't know. If so, it would be a pretty extreme move on Chris Carter's part. But there's a lot in the episode that is just really problematic for me that it just kind of suffers from. But I'll hit on the good parts first. the opening teaser. What were your thoughts on the opening teaser? Now, in My Struggle, the premiere of season 10, we had My Struggle, which is Mulder's point of view, Mulder's struggle, you know, throwing down pictures, kind of catching viewers up on pretty much his life up to this point, his purpose in the X-Files. In this episode, we get it from Scully's perspective. What are your thoughts on the teaser and then how the teaser ended?
Yeah, specifically how it ended, right? But the teaser was very effective for the first one, My Struggle, because it's kind of like Previously on the X-Files without doing a Previously on the X-Files. I liked that. I thought it was a pretty clever way to reintroduce, you know, the show to people who had not been as familiar with it or been as knee-deep in it as the uber fans like ourselves had been. I liked the symmetry there, again, because, you know, the bookends of this revival series, the first episode was Mulder, the second episode focused on Scully. It does kind of lean a lot more heavily towards her referencing the cabal of humans, you know, and how it was just man is the true villain and all this stuff. And despite all the alien things that have happened over the last 10 plus years, 10 seasons anyway. But then, you know, the end where it kind of shows her like turn into an alien, I just didn't understand that. Like, I guess that was referencing her DNA being special and immune in retrospect. When it happened, I was like, what are you trying to say here? You know, I mean, what did you think when she shapeshifted into that alien at the end of the teaser?
Well, it was definitely a lead into a phrase that would be uttered no less than 60, 70 times throughout the next 43 minutes, alien DNA. I mean, I get there's probably only so many ways to say that, but that got very annoying. I mean, that alien, it was every... I mean, I want to count how many times that was in the episode because it was insane. But I liked the teaser overall. It was definitely probably a little bit extreme to see her face morph into that of an alien, but
yeah,
suggestive, I think, of her fears, her coming to understand exactly what this alien DNA, which is not, despite it being treated as though it's new, it's not a new concept of the series.
Well, yeah, it's trodden ground at this point, and I feel like that was a problem with this finale. You know, a lot of it's the same things that we've seen over and over and over again.
It is. I mean, even going back real quick to My Struggle, you know, Mulder is shocked that Spetta tells him that it's a conspiracy of men. Well, he's known it's a conspiracy of men since season 2. I mean, that was terrible. That was one of those unforgivable things. But that's reflected here with the whole idea of alien DNA. Scully did not know she had alien DNA. The fact that she, you know, had two children conceived when she was told she was barren, I mean, that didn't make her think that there might have been alien DNA involved at some point in time. But anyway, you know, it really just, it goes from 0 to 60, this episode does, within the first few minutes of it. And I think that hurt it in the end, because you had no time to breathe, and it really would have expanded, it would have benefited rather from a little bit, you know, maybe being a 60 or 70 minute episode. We could have unpacked things a little more, and I think it might have really helped the story out.
You know, thinking about it as that really kind of set off another conversation point for me when you were talking about how, you know, stuff, does she not know this? Have you seen it before? Talking about things that we've seen before, you know, the whole confrontation between Mulder and Cigarette Smoking Man, right? That is almost exactly the same confrontation they've had many times in the series, specifically in One Breath, you know, because he's just, Cigarette Smoking Man's just chilling in this chair and Mulder's pointing a gun at him and he just couldn't care less. He's not really fazed by it or anything. And it's just kind of disappointing. I expected something more for what could theoretically have been their final confrontation. Again, since we know there's more to come, I'm not so upset by it anymore, but it just seems so pedestrian, you know, for something that should be the epic conclusion, not just the season, but possibly the series. And and you know, speaking of Cigarette Smoking Man, what did you think of the way they resurrected him?
That is something that I'm able to overlook. I just have to suspend my disbelief, so to speak, on that. I have my own ideas about how they might explain it. I think there could be more to the story. I hope there's more to the story.
Same. I hope so, yeah.
I will be honest, I'm someone who is very nervous at the idea of Chris Carter doing a retcon of the original series mythology, which appears to be the case for My Struggle, My Struggle 2. But he has done this before. He did this with Gethsemane, and the scene between that we got here in My Struggle 2 with CSM and Mulder echoed, like you said, the scene from One Breath and a scene from One Son right before the Syndicate was destroyed. So I think this is not new for Carter. I do think he's going to present some of what was presented in Season 10 as not actually the truth. I hope that's what he does, but, you know, he throws out those red herrings. That's par for the course with the show, so I'm not too concerned about that part of it. I don't know. Some of the dialogue between CSM and Mulder, it was, like you said, you expected more for it being a season, potentially series finale, and it just felt felt pretty stilted to me.
Any thoughts on Reyes and her turn as character?
That was a good part of the episode for me. I like Monica Reyes. Aside from the fact that Scully couldn't identify her voice for several moments, seemed a little, I mean, granted it's been years, but, you know. I don't see Monica Reyes as an evil character. I see her as a complex character, and I think there will be some measure of redemption for her. I think there's more to the story, and I think more to her story, rather, her reasonings behind seemingly her alliance with CSM, and I think those reasons have to do with William, who gets a very brief mention right at the very end of the episode as someone that Scully believes could potentially save Mulder. What are your thoughts on, I mean, William's been a key part of Season 10, which needed to happen since he was barely mentioned in the post-series film, I Want to Believe. What are your thoughts on what they're going to do with William in the next season?
Well, I think obviously he's on that spaceship, right? At the end, he's going to save the day, right? I laugh about that. That's a distinct possibility. I was on, you know, that's something else disappointed me. This whole season, they'd been hinting towards, you know, I mean, hinting towards William, you know, like our son's out there. We see Mulder and Scully kind of cope with the fact that, you know, they have a son out there who might be going through, you know, mutations and all that. You know, Founder's mutation was originally supposed to be the fifth episode leading up to My Struggle 2, and they jumbled up all the order. So I really felt like the season was building towards a reunion of sorts between the family there. And of course, it didn't happen. I do think we're going to see him next season. I mean, if that's what we need, I mean, Scully pretty much blatantly said, we need DNA family member to cure you. And, you know, William has that for Mulder, because they're not going to kill off Mulder, you know, unless David Duchovny is pulling like a Leonard Nimoy or Harrison Ford, say, hey, I'll come back and do this one more time if you kill me off. I mean, I think he really enjoyed doing season 10, and he's in season 11 a lot, so they're not going to do that. And there's already been an episode of the series titled William, so I don't know what they'll title it, but I do believe we will see William in season 11. I don't know what form, but I think we'll see him.
And that is certainly my belief and my hope, but just to play devil's advocate real quick, there are some people who are very concerned that William is just going to be what we might call Samantha 2.0, where Samantha was never really a character. She was a plot device, and she is mentioned as the impetus for Mulder continuing to search, even past the point where Mulder knows for a fact that she's dead. They did that with her, and I Want to Believe. So there's some people who worry that Carter's never actually going to show his hand, we're never actually going to get William, and it's just going to be he's constantly alluded to as they're looking for him, you know, that he's the their new drive. He's the key to everything, but you won't actually meet him.
Yeah, that would be extremely disappointing. Then I would be upset.
Even if you're not a fan of that, which there's, you know, fair criticism. A lot of people did not like parts of season 8, season 9 with William being introduced and everything. But, you know, we at least need closure for the character. And I think he is so central to where Mulder and Scully are in their lives. And, you know, they are aging. And I think that he's, you know, he's an important means of closure, and I think they need to pay attention to that.
So. Also, a previous episode title of the series called Closure, so they're running out of titles.
They are. They are running out of titles.
All right, well, that was, you know, season 10. Again, very honored to be capping off the pod watch here as far as the episodes go. You know, real quick, Andrew, if you had to rank the six episodes of season 10, how would you rank them?
Oh, I have ranked them, actually.
Who of us hasn't,
I have. My favorite episode was Founder's Mutation. I felt that that was the most classic feel of the series. I would probably say Founder's Mutation, followed by Home Again, followed by Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster, followed by My Struggle 2, followed by My Struggle, followed finally, reluctantly, by Babylon. What about you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think if you ask 9 out of 10 people, they would say Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster would be number one. It's not my number one either. So my list would probably be Home Again, number one, because I feel like that one, out of all the episodes of The Rival, that one actually felt like we were going home again. It really felt like an old school episode of The X-Files. The plot, the cinematography, just everything about it felt like it had finally clicked, you know? And I know a lot of people were turned off by that because they thought, oh, Home Again, we're going to see the Peacocks again. It's a sequel to Home. No, it wasn't. You know, maybe they should have titled something different. But anyway, that'd be my number one. Then Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster. Then My Struggle Part 1, because I actually liked the reframing of the mythology. It reminded me of Redux, like we had talked about before. I thought that was interesting. I knew that it wasn't going to be, you know, the last word on it. I knew there was more to come. So I like the reintroduction. I thought that was a really good reintroduction to the show, My Struggle Part 1. Then I'd say Founder's Mutation. Then there's like a big gap, and then there's My Struggle 2, and then there's like a big chasm, and then Babylon. So that's how I would rank them. So
I liked Mulder and Scully Meet the Weremonster. It was a little too... It was a little too meta for me, so to speak. Uh-huh. I felt there was, it fell flat on a couple notes. It was a good episode. I think it was the fact that you only had 6 episodes. I like comedy, and I like when The X-Files says comedy, but when you devote 1 hour out of 6 to only comedy, it felt a little, I don't know, it just didn't do it quite for me. So, solid episode, but not my favorite by any means.
Oh yeah, Darren Morgan is my favorite writer of the whole series. Like on my top 10 list of the show, probably half of them are Darren Morgan episodes. So I love his style, but I just, this would be, not that it's bad, but this would be the weakest episode in the Darren Morgan canon, in my opinion. But anyway, guys, yeah, so we had a little bit of a longer pod watch today, but this is the big cap off of everything. So thanks for indulging our conversation, and please let us know on you know, Twitter, Facebook, you know, the Facebook group, you know, how you would rank Season 10, because that's a fun one. It's very, very quantifiable, because when people say, hey, what are your top 10 episodes of The X-Files? It's like all over the place. But when we have these 6 episodes here, you can really get a good gauge of everybody's opinion when you say, hey, rank these for me, and you can kind of see where everybody stands. So a lot of fun talking about these today, Andrew. If people want to find you out there on the internet and talk more X-Files with you, where can they find you, man?
Best bet would be on the X-Files Basement, the X-Cast fan site there on Facebook. I post on there sharing articles, sharing spoilers, all sorts of good stuff on a regular basis. We got a great group of fans there posting a lot of good content about season 11 and the original series. So check us out. It's the X-Files Basement, which is our fan site for the X-Cast.
Alrighty, as for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of my own podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show. You can find us on Twitter at AlwaysSmallville with one S. I'm also the host of Standard Orbit, a Star Trek original series podcast. You can find us on the Trek FM network at Trek FM on Twitter. As for the X-Cast itself, you can find us on Twitter at @X_cast. And on Facebook, our Facebook page and group, the X-Cast, X-Files podcast fan group. Lots of good conversation there, anticipation for season 11, and here we go, guys. So the Pod Watch will be back tomorrow, covering the future. Tony has some final thoughts on everything leading up to the premiere of season 11, so exciting times. But until then, trust no one.